We're back with another must-have episode, and this time we'll be covering the tight ends. Are we sleeping on Schultz? We're here to break down. A couple of our writers kind of agree that we are sleeping on Schultz. Before we do, let's talk about following us across the board at Razzball Fantasy on YouTube, IG, and TikTok. We're doing daily content on all platforms and on YouTube. Make sure you guys hit the subscribe button. We're going to be here all season long, including on Sundays, folks. We're doing a live start sit show, so make sure you subscribe to the channel and join us before kickoff every Sunday for our Sunday live show. It's going to be a ton of fun. And, of course, make sure you go to razzball.com. We have articles on the baseball, hockey, and basketball all year round, but it's football season, folks. So make sure you're jumping on, checking out all the great content from our writers over on razzball.com. It's a lot of fun. Plus, our awesome tools. We have the ADP price tool, team name generator. You name it, we got it. All right, folks, let's start the show. All right, I'm going to bring in my first guest today. You've seen her a bunch of times on the show. Her name is Keelan Blue. You can follow her at Keelan_12ft. What's going on, Keelan?
Not much. What's going on with you, Bobby?
I figure at this point, like, it's been a while. I feel like a very few times we bring you on. Today you wanted to come on for tight ends, and I'm hoping we see you a lot more this year. I'm telling you right now, I want you to be a regular on the Razzball Fantasy podcast. But before we even bring on our next guest, who's a new guest to the show, I just want to give you a quick second. Give me a couple sentences on your tight end philosophy heading into 2022.
So for 2022, I honestly went for running backs first. And then when I started to get into, I think I went with tight ends a little early this year because people were going very early with running backs. And I was like, I'm not ready to pick up wide receivers yet. So I did actually end up picking up tight ends very early. I think like round four or five for me is when I picked up my first one. Usually I would have waited till a little later, like seven or eight. But, you know, you just got to go with the flow sometimes. I think you're on mute.
I'm on mute, folks. That's on me. That's on me.
I missed your excitement.
Matt, I know. I was super stoked for you, man. I'm super excited. Matt Stiles is on the show today. You can follow him on Twitter at Stiles08. What's up, Matt?
Well, I'm good. What a hell of an intro, right? All on mute.
On mute.
You can't pay for that type of intro.
I mean, the hands are flailing. If you listen to the podcast, you'll just hear a little bit of a pause. But on live with YouTube, I look like a crazy person. Yeah. That's how excited I am for you.
I'm stoked. I can't share the intro for my mom, right? I'll have to cut that part out.
Great. Yeah. I'm disappointed, Bob. That just ruined my day. Anyway, Matt, quickly talk us about your tight end strategy for 2022.
So actually, I'm glad you asked. The first article I wrote for Razzball was the do's, right? And one of my do's was you've got to get one of the top five tight ends. When I went into the Razzball 4 draft, right, I'm listed as an expert, which is probably far from the truth. And I went running back, receiver, and the top three guys were gone. And in rounds 5 and 6, I took Kittle and Waller. Both injury prone from time to time. But at that point, the draft was kind of off the rails for where people were reaching. And I wasn't going to take a quarterback that early. So I ended up with the number 4 and number 5. My strategy is if those 5 are gone, you can wait, kind of, right? We're going to talk about Schultz in a minute. So if you 5A, I guess, is Schultz. And after that, I think you just wait till it makes sense.
I got Andrews and Kittle for Razzball.
Yeah, right. You're better than me.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, listen, before I get into each individual picks, here's something I want people to put into perspective. I think one of the most important factors about tight ends, people automatically think, oh, yeah, Travis Kelce, huge difference maker. And he is. But you have to remember, with tight ends in these one positions, you're not just drafting that player. You're drafting him versus the other guys. And then later you're drafting a tight end 6, 7, 8 rounds later. So, for example, what I mean by this is if you draft Travis Kelce in the top 15, you're passing on Kamara, CeeDee Lamb, Saquon Barkley, Leonard Fournette, these top-tier running backs and wide receivers, and then you have to replace that last flex spot, let's say in the 7th round. Guys that are going to be there like Hunter Renfro, Elijah Moore, Tony Pollard, Miles Sanders, nice names, but they're not going to be Alvin Kamara, they're not going to be Saquon Barkley, and then you could go get a guy like Dallas Goedert, another player we're talking about later too, Zach Ertz, maybe another player like TJ Hockenson in those drafts. So remember, it's not just about taking a difference maker at tight end at 15. It's what you're also passing up, and then you have to fill those spots later. So remember that. That's just one of the philosophies we want to talk about before we start. But that's enough. Let's talk about the main guy. Keelan, I'm going to kick it over to you first to talk about Dalton Schultz. and why he's a must-have player in 2022.
Yeah, so we're having a Dalton Schultz love fest tonight. So sorry for the spoilers, Matt. So yeah, I picked Dalton Schultz, despite me just saying what I said about Rasball and what I picked. You know, I had some room to move there, but I picked Dalton Schultz just because I think, you know, he had a career year last year. And now we know Dak Prescott is back after going 1 year after his gruesome ankle injury. So I think, you know, for last year we saw Schultz, he finished all 17 games with 78 receptions on 104 targets for 808 yards, and he had eight touchdowns. And he ended up, you know, having a super good year this year with Amari Cooper out of the picture. And I guess kind of this idea that the Cowboys will continue what they've been doing with their passing game. You know, that's just going to open up Dalton Schultz as a target. So super looking forward to him this year. In my other leagues I'm in, I'm definitely going to try to pick him up. And I feel like some people will overlook him. So you might be able to get him for a deal because, you know, he might not be on the radar for some people, especially in your casual leagues.
Absolutely. Now, Matt, I heard you agree, even though I set up the show and I already know the answer to that, but I heard you might agree with this one. So why is Dalton Schultz a must-have tight end for you as well?
So living here in Texas, but being far from a Cowboys fan, he has gone in the home leagues earlier than some names that you'd be shocked. But you gave the statistics, Keelan, right? I mean, the statistics jump off the page. And since we have to watch him 17 games a season here in San Antonio, because that's the only the game in town. You get Houston Texans as well, but he flies off the TV too, right? He's just really good. He's strong. He runs good routes. He's got great hands. And I think outside of CeeDee Lamb, Dak loves this guy second, right? He just does what you need to do, puts up stats. He doesn't complain, even though if you look at his contract situation, he bet on himself, right? So guys like Lamar Jackson and Dalton Schultz, they bet on themselves. They know that they're going to make the big money, but they have to show out. And he did last year, and I have a feeling he's going to do that again this year.
Just to promote some diversity on the show, even though I 100% agree with you, Schultz is inside my top four. I'm debating on even putting him closer to those top three, the Pitts, Andrews, and Kelsey tier, because I do agree with both of you on this. My guy, actually, though, is Zach Ertz. Now, when you start looking at Zach Ertz, he's starting to, you know, people think that the tight end position has a huge cliff in their early 30s, but tight ends, like, for a long time can produce in their mid and late 30s. Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez, Jason Witten all produced well into their 30s. So I'm not concerned about the age cliff, but what excites me about Ertz is that, first of all, last year he had a resurgence with the Arizona Cardinals. He had his highest yards per attempt and catch rate since 2018 when he went over to the Arizona Cardinals. Learning that system on a fly, he hit the ground running. However, when you start looking at these guys, Ertz is starting to go later and later now because he's dealing with a small soft tissue injury. People are a little concerned. Now he's going in the ninth round. So we just brought up value. Now you could take Kelsey in the first round at the 1-2 turn, but you're passing up, like I said, on Kamara. Well, instead, you could take Kamara, Barkley, whoever you want there, and get Ertz in the ninth round. This guy last year in the games without DeAndre Hopkins, because, of course, DeAndre Hopkins is out the first 6 weeks of the year, averaged 13.8 PPR points per game. That's elite, elite tight end numbers at the position. That would have been tight end 5 last year. So he's already shown without Hopkins on the field that he could produce at a very high level. However, even when Hopkins returns, when he played his whole entire time with the Cardinals, he averaged 11.9 PPR points per game. That would have been tight end 7 last year. So even with Hopkins on and off the field, he produced top 5 to 7 numbers. But just because Hopkins will be out the first 6 weeks, I think you can get off to a really hot start with Ertz and then see how things play out after he returns, and you have time to adjust your roster from there. So I'm actually buying Zach Ertz as my must-have tight end for my first one. All right, Key, let's kick it over to you for your next one. It's actually TJ Hockenson. So why is TJ Hockenson a must-have tight end?
So, yeah, also Zach Ertz has that new dad energy, which we've seen from baseball is a real thing. So I believe that. I believe that's a real thing. So I feel confident about him as well.
Nolan Arenado showed it. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Exactly. We've been seeing it all year. Dansby, we've been seeing it. I feel like that's going to be true for football too. But yeah, so TJ Hockenson, I know this was probably like a little bit of a weird pick. However, I could see if you didn't go big, pick one of the top five in the first few rounds, then, you know, I feel like TJ Hockenson, one, this is going to sound crazy, I just feel good about him because of the Lions and kind of their turn they're having. TJ Hockenson, he got injured last year. He had a thumb injury that required surgery. And before he had that injury, he was on his way to having the best season ever. I believe his stats here were that he only played in 12 games, but he still finished ninth in the season in receptions. I feel like this year, you know, with it being kind of the second year here for Dan Campbell and the switching up of the coaching staff, it's only going to be a better year for him. So I feel like, again, he's kind of slept on. So if you missed those first few rounds, those few big names, I feel like TJ Hockenson is, again, going to be a little slept on and do a little better than some people think.
Yeah, I agree with that one too. By the way, just a fun fact, Jared Goff targets the middle of the field 75% of his attempts. That's where the tight end lives, man. I think this is a good call as well. This one is actually interesting, folks. A hot preseason player who might be, this might be more dynasty focused, but Matt is buying Isaiah Likely for the Baltimore Ravens. So talk to us a little bit about Likely and why he's a must draft player.
Right. So new guy, who dis, right? Let's blow it up with the first recommendation. This guy's not even on ADP lists. When you start to look at what folks are recommending, if Mark Andrews goes down, this guy becomes Mark Andrews. And for a guy coming out of a small college, Coastal Carolina, 59 catches, 912 yards, and 12 touchdowns his senior year. 4-year starter. He played and played well. And again, the offense in Baltimore is Lamar and it's Andrews. It's certainly not Devin Duvernay, and we can't trust J.K. Dobbins, right? So I'm not shocked at all to see what he did in the preseason. I think the last game, 8 catches, 100 yards, a touchdown. They're going to run 2 tight end sets because Baltimore wants to run the ball. Both tight ends can block. You know, they're just large football players. They can block, but they can catch. And again, it's the Devin Duvernay effect. There is no wide receiver behind Bateman. So it likely, because he can catch and he can run routes and he can do everything on the field, he's going to be the guy that's going to creep up. He may not be Bobby Tonyan, right, and finish tight end 3 out of nowhere, but I wouldn't be shocked if he finishes top 12.
The old tight end handcuff. I like it. You don't hear that a lot, so that's good. But listen, this kid has proven it on the preseason games in absolute size. Keel, looks like you have a comment about Likely. Do you have anything to add?
It's funny. I mean, interesting pick, but also I was just looking at him for my dynasty league, actually, and I was like, this could be interesting. However, I also picked up a lot of new guys, but also – I feel like his name is perfect for puns too. So need those in the future.
Right. Yes. For the team name generator on razzball.com, go do it. It's awesome. All right. My last one that I'm going to talk about today is David Njoku. Now, Njoku, a lot of this is hesitation, of course, is going to start with Brissett, and that, you know, Deshaun Watson is not going to play until week 12. And I totally get all that. And I understand. But here's the thing. First of all, look at Njoku as a player. He's exactly what you want out of a breakout tight end. First of all, he's an athletic freak, 86 percentile spark score. He basically in the 80s in every single metric, from speed, you know, agility, he has everything. A former first round pick, which we all know is very important for breaking out in fantasy football, high draft capital. He has the athletic profile. But also, I think a lot of people forget he already kind of broke out. It's been a long time, but if you go way back, I believe 18, he had a season right before the Kevin Stefanski era started. The other thing I find very important that makes me very positive about David Njoku is they paid him and they let Austin Hooper walk. So I think they brought in Hooper during the Stefanski era thinking he's going to be the one. Then they realized really quickly Njoku has to be that guy. Now, Njoku, when he plays in the game, has been very good. When he plays 64% of the snaps in his career, he averages double-digit fantasy points in PPR. Okay, so that gets you in the top 15 range right there. But that's only playing 64% of snaps. If you watch the preseason, he was nearly an every down player. And now let's talk about Jacoby Brissett. Listen, you remember Jack Doyle? Remember Jack Doyle way back
touchdown
in the day?
Touchdown Jack Doyle.
Oh, yeah. In 2017, he was the tight end 6 in fantasy. You know who his quarterback that season was? Jacoby Brissett. The Colts in the 2 seasons, he was the starter with top 13 in fantasy points generated from the tight end position. So Jacoby Brissett leans on his tight end. Mike Gesicki in the game's last season with Brissett averaged double-digit fantasy points, 10 points PPR, 10 points in PPR. But the feather in the cap for Njoku is when playoff season comes, he'll have Deshaun Watson back. So now you have this guy who can produce borderline tight end 1 numbers that you're getting with your last pick in drafts. who might be a league winner for you in the playoffs when he gets an elite quarterback in there. So that's why I'm leaning David Njoku as my must-have tight end late in fantasy football drafts. Now, I'm going to ask the team really quick. You're on the clock. We already talked about our must-have players, but I want to talk about the high-end guys. Let's talk about the Kelce, the Pitts, the Andrews, because we did give people alternatives. But my question is, kick it down to you, Keelan, first. Like, where's the range you feel comfortable with Kelce drafting him in drafts this year?
So I actually avoided him this year just because even though you made the point that he like, if he was the option to draft, then I would totally take him. However, I waited and got Mark Andrews, which I feel fantastic about. To your point, you know, you said tight ends can play until they get older, and Kelce is getting a little older. But, I mean, he's still pretty solid, and it's like, yeah, I feel comfortable getting him, picking him up still like fourth, or I don't see him being available still till later, but I would still pick him up whenever he was available.
Now, Matt, my question for you more is now in that third round, when you get that Andrews / Pitts, like Kyle Pitts is going in an area where a lot of elite receivers are going, Michael Pittman, Mike Evans, you know, Keenan Allen, those guys, how much Kyle Pitts, what's your thoughts on him? Are you targeting him in the third round?
My article says get one of the top five, but my second and third draft, I haven't been anywhere close. They're going late two, early three, and then people are scrambling. I love Pitts. I think he is a wide receiver in a tight end position. Matt Ryan loved him. We'll see what Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder can do. But if you saw him play with Mariota in the last preseason game, he targeted him and he just blew the defensive back away, right? It's a mismatch when he's against a safety and a linebacker. I don't know that teams can afford to put a DB on a tight end, but the guy's just a freak of nature. He's just really, really good. And he's faster than I thought. When I saw him pulling away the other day, it was crazy. My gut tells me I need to pay up for them. But just like Keelan, when those wide receivers and running backs that make more sense are there, I'm willing to take a deep breath, do the right thing, and move on. I've drafted Kelce 112 last year and came back with, I think, a running back or a receiver on the turn. But I recall having cheat code all year, and he was a beast, right? He won two or three games single-handedly, but – I think I'm slowing down on the tight end love and forcing myself to go wide receiver and running back. And so, you know, my local home league, Njoku, if you saw me looking off screen, he went pick 60 overall.
Wow.
So somebody's already seen your notes. You may want to check for cameras behind you.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. I'll sweep for bugs after the episode is done. Yeah. But that's all we got today, folks. I really do appreciate having you both on the show today. This has been a lot of fun. This whole week, we're doing must-have everything. Tomorrow, we're coming back again to do must-have quarterbacks. Once again, this is the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast on the Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel. Make sure you give us a follow across the board on all platforms, IG and TikTok. Make sure you go into razzball.com for all the tools that you need to win your fantasy league. Once again, I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. You can follow me on Twitter, at Bobby LaMarco. For Matt Styles, you can follow him at Styles08 on Twitter. And Keelan, follow her at Keelan_12-foot. We appreciate you joining. We are out of here.